Good morning. I want to welcome you all to First Presbyterian Church Lufkin. We're excited to see so many, and we want to thank everyone who served in the military for their service. It's such a wonderful thing that we should never take for granted. We have a lot of announcements that are listed in the bulletin. I'd like to call your attention to some of those. This Sunday is the sixth Sunday of Easter. On Tuesday, we'll be having a centering prayer group that meets at 5:30. Gordon will do a short devotional and a training on center prayer. And then there'll be, after that, they will center for 20 minutes, and no prior experience is necessary. And we'd like to welcome all of you to participate in that. It will last about 45 minutes. The Brown Bag Bible Study will not meet this week. The next time it meets will be on Wednesday, June 8th. Friday night is game night. That's June 3rd. And next Sunday, June 5th, is Pentecost, so please wear red. This coming up Saturday is our vacation Bible school. It's not too late to register, so we will be taking kids that are going into 4K through those that have completed fifth grade. So if you have children or grandchildren or neighbors that would like to participate in that, feel free to let the church office and come on Saturday at 9:15. We will be setting up for Vacation Bible School beginning at 6:30 on Wednesday. So if you would like to participate in that, of course, we could welcome your help. There is also there in the middle of the bulletin a prayer list. Please include those folks in your prayers. I know they would really appreciate it. Thank you.
Let us open with prayer. God of boundless grace, you call us to drink freely of the well of life and to share the love of your holy being. May the glory of your love made known in the victory of Jesus Christ, our Savior, transform our lives and the world he lived and died to save. We ask this in his name and for his sake. Amen. Please stand as you're able for the call to worship. Before and after.
Last.
Alpha and Omega.
The steadfast love of God endures forever.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us worship God. Please remain standing as you're able and turn in the Glory to God hymnal to number 260. Alleluia. Sing to Jesus.
Oh,
Please be seated. Proof of God's amazing love is this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us to wash away our sins. Because we have faith in Him, we dare to approach the throne of God with confidence, asking for forgiveness of our sins. So in faith and in penitence, let us go to the throne of God using first the prayer of confession printed in the bulletin and then praying together in silence. Let us pray. Holy God, You have shown Yourself to us in Jesus, perfect in every way, compassionate and kind, faithful and loving, gracious and hospitable. We stumble and fall as we seek to follow Him, struggling to make His ways our ways. Our sins are real, and they are many. Forgive our failings and encourage us to start again. Amen. Who's in a position to condemn us? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. And Christ prays for us. So hear the good news and believe that in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, our sins are indeed washed away. We're new creatures able to live together in peace and in love. So now, as grateful, forgiven Christians, let's stand together and sing Glory to God. Having received the peace of God's forgiveness, let's pass that peace to one another. May the peace of Christ be with you. You staring at me? Peace of Christ be with you, Samuel. My hand's wet too, so that's okay. Peace of Christ be with you. Peace of Christ be with you. Mike, peace of Christ be with you. Peace of Christ be with you, Albert.
Let us pray. Gracious God, living Word, as you revealed yourself to Mary that Easter morning, so reveal yourself to us. By the power of your Spirit, give each of us faith that hearing your word, we too may proclaim, I have seen the Lord. Amen. The reading this morning will be John 17, verses 20 through 26. And that can be found on page 111 in your pew Bible if you would like to follow along. I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. As you, Father, are in me and I am in you, may they also believe in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that those also whom you have given me may be with me wherever I am to see my glory, which you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made your name known to them, and I will make it known, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them. Holy wisdom, holy words. Thanks be to God.
Will the children please join me up front? Wow. Every Sunday, when I'm at the font here, I say that Jesus prays for us. Now, how can that be? How can it be that Jesus prays for us? The answer to that question is in the scripture that Miss East just read. She says, John says in the scripture, and she said, I ask not only on behalf of these, Jesus is praying for his disciples, I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe. Jesus was praying for those who will believe. That includes us. I pray on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word. So the disciples, the ones who heard Jesus, they wrote the books of the Bible. And then we've heard that word and we've come to believe. And Jesus prays for us. Isn't that a great feeling? To know that Jesus prays for us too. Let's pray. Lord God, we are so grateful that you came to us in the flesh through Jesus Christ. And we are so thankful that Jesus thought to pray even for us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's see. Our next reading is from the book of Acts, chapter 16, beginning with verse 16. One day, as we were going to the place of prayer, we met a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners a great deal of money by fortune telling. While she followed Paul and us, she would cry out, "These men are slaves of the Most High God who proclaim to you a way of salvation." She kept doing this for many days. But Paul, very much annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I order you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out that very hour. But when her owners saw that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. When they had brought them before the magistrates, they said, "These men are disturbing our city. They are Jews and are advocating customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to adopt or observe." The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates had them stripped of their clothing and ordered them to be beaten with rods. After they had given them a severe flogging, they threw them into prison and ordered the jailer to keep them securely. Following these instructions, he put them in the innermost cell and fastened their feet in stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was an earthquake, so violent that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were unfastened. When the jailer woke up and saw the prison doors wide open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, since he supposed that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted in a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." The jailer called for lights, and rushing in, he found them. And he fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them outside and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They answered, "Believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." They spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And at the same hour of the night, he took them and washed their wounds. And then he and his entire family were baptized without delay. He brought them up into the house and set food before them. And he and his entire household rejoiced that he had become a believer in God. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. As I was coming in today, I saw a beautiful painting by Corey sitting out on the table. And it reminds me of some plaques that were in the church that I grew up in. In the narthex, there were two plaques, one for those who died in the Great War and the other for those who died in World War II. One day I heard a child ask the preacher about the plaques. The preacher told the child that the plaques were memorials to those who died in service. The child quickly responded, "The early service or the late service?" as Christians, we have a tendency to focus on what we believe. We say the Apostles' Creed or some other statement of belief every Sunday. We ask new members to affirm their belief in the existence of sin, the lordship of Jesus, and the forgiveness of sins. We distinguish ourselves from our brothers and sisters, other denominations, often by our beliefs. However, as we look at a book called Acts, it's appropriate to think about how we act as Christians. The study of how we act as Christians is called Christian ethics. Some might say that actions are not important because it's faith, not works, that saves us. If Christianity were only about salvation, that might be true. However, God has a purpose for our salvation. While our individual purpose varies, the general purpose of God for our lives can be summarized in what has been called the greatest commandment. Simply stated, it all boils down to loving God, loving neighbor. The cross is a great representation of Christian ethics. The vertical bar represents the love between God and the world. The horizontal bar represents the love between people, between neighbors. Both pieces, horizontal and vertical, are necessary to form a cross. Jesus died for us so that we might know the saving love of God and be reconciled with God who created us and who loves us. Jesus lived for us so that we might see how the perfect person lived among us. Furthermore, Jesus commanded us to love one another. This idea of loving God and loving each other was not new to Jesus. Jesus came not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it, including the Ten Commandments. It's been said that the first tablet of the Ten Commandments is all about our relationship with God. Specifically, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make yourself an idol. You shall not take the name of the Lord in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The first four commandments, or the first tablet, all relates to our relationship with God. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. And you shall not covet. The second six commandments, or the second tablet, each relate to our relationships with each other. Again, these commandments relate more to our actions than to our beliefs. In the book of Acts, we see how the early church wrestles with living out Christian faith. Or again, what we might call Christian ethics. Last week, we saw how Paul converted the first Christian household in Europe, the house of Lydia, a female businesswoman. Lydia becomes an important leader in and supporter of the early church. Today we see how Paul comes across a different kind of business. This business exploits a woman who's possessed by a spirit. The Greek word used for the spirit involved is a spirit known for telling the future at the oracle of Apollo. This woman, actually described as a slave girl, is not enjoying the benefits of her skills. but is being exploited by unscrupulous merchants. It's interesting to note that Paul initially does not, or does do what many of us might do, nothing. At first, Paul's followed all over town by this girl who's announcing that Paul is a slave of the Most High God. At first, maybe Paul's enjoying the publicity. After all, she's helping gather crowds for his preaching. Eventually, Paul gets annoyed. The word used for annoyed is also sometimes translated as much pained. This is the same word used for the feeling the high priest had in Acts 4 when they learned the apostles were preaching that the man Jesus they had delivered to be crucified was the Messiah. This annoyance is a personal feeling that does not carry empathy for the person who is delivering the pain. Paul is personally annoyed at the words the possessed girl is speaking. He does not seem concerned for her well-being. Acting out of his annoyance, Paul casts the demon out of the slave girl. We do not hear any more about her from that point forward. Unlike Lydia, who becomes a believer and whose whole family was baptized, this story is not really about the slave girl, but about the merchants. They are not pleased that their slave is healed. They are concerned about the loss of profit. This is reminiscent of the time Jesus goes to the pool of Bethsaida and asks the man sitting by the pool if he wants to be made well. He had been ill for 38 years and presumably had been making his living asking for alms based on his illness. If Jesus healed him, it would be bad for business. And Jesus seemed to sense that. Paul apparently had no sense he was interfering with business, only that he was annoyed. Now, this is not to say Paul did the wrong thing, but perhaps he did it for the wrong reason. Likewise, the merchants are not happy. Paul has interfered with their business. The merchants take Paul and his group to the marketplace before the authorities. The charge does not mention the healing, interestingly. The charge is disturbing the peace and being Jews. There's no mention of an opportunity for a defense, just a rush to judgment and punishment. Now, reading between the lines, the story is all about the clash between doing what is right and profit. Luke makes it clear that the slave girl's spirit of divination brought her owners a great deal of money. After the healing, Luke again says, when they saw their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas. Paul's actions were bad for business. Not only was it permissible for the slave owners to exploit the slave girl for money, the court system seemed to support their complaint. The law was on their side. But who was right? Sometimes it seems in our culture that the profit motive justifies the conduct. There's a disconnect between Christian ethics and business ethics. If someone is willing to pay the price, isn't it okay to make a profit? Isn't fair market value defined as what a willing buyer will pay a willing seller? But what if the buyer has no other choice? Consider the businessmen who purchase drug companies and raise the price of the drugs sorely needed by a group of consumers who have no other choice? What about merchants who raise the price of emergency supplies when there's an emergency? Is it price gouging? Or is it just business? Health.com reported the following, quote, "When news broke that his company bought the rights to a 62-year-old drug and jacked the price up from $13.50 to $750 a pill, the CEO of Turing Pharmaceuticals, Martin Shkreli, became the most hated man in America. Shock and outrage over the 5,000% price increase for Daraprim, a drug long used to treat parasitic infections in HIV patients and pregnant women, was swift and widespread. But Shkreli's attempt to turn a hefty profit on an old pharmaceutical product is far from the first or only example of this practice. Other companies have been snapping up the rights to inexpensive off-patent drugs and selling them at much higher cost, often with no added value in sight," end quote. As Christians, what standard do we use for our actions? Jesus modeled for us an ethic of love. Love does not mean having a warm, fuzzy feeling for someone. Love means that we are truly concerned for the well-being of the other without regard for our own well-being. Paul models this as the scripture extends to his imprisonment for his business interference. Paul and Silas are in prison when an earthquake strikes, opening the doors to the prison. When the jailer thought his prisoners had escaped, he was going to kill himself. However, Paul displayed an amazing love for a person who's holding him captive, shouts out that the prisoners have not left. Rather than running the minute the doors were opened by the earthquake, Paul remained. The merchants were not moved by Paul's act of power in healing the slave girl, but the jailer is moved by Paul's act of love in not escaping, then preventing his suicide. Paul's act of love leads to the jailer's conversion and the baptism of his whole household. Our actions do make a difference. What we believe is important largely in how it affects what we do. Our actions, our practice, our works reflect how seriously we take our faith. Our actions should not be measured by profit, but by love. What is bad for business may be good for the kingdom of God. Amen. Having heard the word of God read, sung, and proclaimed, let's stand together and say what we believe, using the words from the Confession of 1967 printed in your bulletin. What do you believe? Life in Christ is life eternal. The resurrection of Jesus is the sign that God will consummate the work of creation and reconciliation beyond death and bring to fulfillment the new life begun in Christ. Please remain standing as you're able and turn in the Glory to God hymnal to number 321, The Church's One Foundation. Please be seated. There's only one Lord and God, from whom all things come and for whom we live. Let us offer our lives, our tithes, and our gifts to the Lord. Will the ushers please come forward? Let us pray. We praise and thank you, Lord God, for the majesty of your work, the wisdom of your word, and the generosity of your grace. Let the gifts of our lives bear witness to your goodness and mercy, your faithfulness and justice, and your steadfast love for all. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Pray. Rejoicing in God's promise of new creation, let us pray to the Maker of heaven and earth, saying, O God of new life, we pray for the church. Feed us with good fruit from the tree of life, and let us drink at the spring of your grace while we wait for the coming of the Lord. O God of new life, we pray for our communities. Send us into the streets and prisons to share the message of the gospel with all who are longing to be set free. O God of new life, we pray for the world. Let all people celebrate your goodness. Hasten the coming of your new creation of righteousness, justice, and peace. O God of new life, we pray for the earth. Make all living things have the clean air and water they need to prosper. Teach us to live in partnership with your creation. O God of new life, we pray for loved ones. Guard the lives of those we love. Rescue them from the grip of suffering. Let your healing light dawn upon them, O God of new life. Gracious God, keep us working and praying for the coming of your holy realm of peace, when we will share abundant life with you through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Above all, we give you thanks, O God, that nothing can separate us from your love in Christ Jesus our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now please turn in the Glory to God hymnal to number 353, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less. And please stand as you're able. Having heard the word of God to you through the Holy Spirit, I charge you to go out into the world in peace. Do not measure your actions by the money you make, but by the love you create. Be a builder of the kingdom of God rather than a slave to profit. It may be bad for business, but it's good for the soul. Pass the peace of Christ among you as you go. May the peace of Christ be with you. And now may the grace, mercy, peace, and power of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit rest and abide with you now and forevermore. Amen.